Well, good morning and welcome everyone to the John Maxwell Team Support Call. The call this morning is a question and answer period with Kathy Leek of the John Maxwell Company on the assessment tool. So if you have questions on the assessment tool, now is the time to get them answered as we get closer to the launch. And I know there's lots of coaches out there that have been taking the assessment tool themselves. Kathy, did you have any specific directions you wanted to give before I open the Q&A?
Just a quick question for you, Cheryl. Has anyone from RightPath joined us yet this morning? Do you see Terry or Sherry on the line?
I do not.
All right. Well, that's okay. We'll get started without them, and I'll give them a quick ping and see if they're going to join.
Well, as we speak, RightPath did just join the call.
Hey, guys. It's Terry here, and Sherry will be on in just a split second, too.
Good morning, Terry. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Great. Well, we were just getting started, and I wanted to let the coaches know who we had on this morning as, in addition to me. So my name is Kathy Leek. I'm the Director of Operations with the John Maxwell Company. And for those of you who weren't on our call 2 weeks ago and had the privilege of speaking with Jerry, the CEO of RightPath, he's got his two better halves joining us this morning, and he told me I could say that. Terry and Sherry over at RightPath. Terry has been my main point of contact in the development of the assessment, working very closely with the brilliant developers over there on her team. And then Jerry told me that you have a lot of experience being able to help our coaches with the actual coaching process, interpretation of the report, and how we use the especially how we use the assessment as it relates to the coaching business. So I think that's going to be really helpful for our coaches this morning. Cheryl, I think we can just open it up for Q&A and find out what people are asking. I'm going to probably have some closing comments on some FAQs that have been coming in via email this week if the coaches who are on this morning's call don't go ahead and ask us, especially for those who aren't able to join us today. I want to make sure that we get a chance to record some of those FAQs for people who will be listening later.
Great. Well, the recording is on, and we'll be sure to get this call posted as well as the evening call tonight. So
great.
I'll open the Q&A. So if you have a question, *6 will bring you into the queue and I will unmute your line.
Hello, good morning. Is anybody there?
Hello, Cheryl's here. We're waiting for the queue to fill up.
Got it. I thought you said caller was on.
Yeah, we have our first caller now, Chandler. Chandler, I'm going to unmute your line.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hi, Chandler.
Kathy, I wanted to know, do we have a, for lack of a better word, like a blurb sheet on the assessment tool that we could give to people so they would have a better understanding, or is it just best that we give them the information orally?
Well, Chandler, we have a couple of different things that are going on right now, but we are in the process of creating a little one sheet. I think it's honestly going to end up being a two-sheeter because we have so many great things that we want to say about the assessment and so many client testimonials that we're trying to fit them all in, and that's going through the process of design over here on the John Maxwell Company side, and I've told Paul as soon as we get something ready, we'll be able to hand it out for you guys. So the answer is yes, there's something coming on the way, and we'll make sure that the team posts that through your site where you can go pull additional resources. I do want to point out, however, that you know the power of conversation and talking people through the assessment, you doing it, and then talking about how powerful the results were is obviously a great way to market the assessment.
Right.
And so don't sell yourself short in thinking that that conversation wouldn't be very powerful. I think it can be very powerful. And then thirdly, the launch of this in conjunction with the mastermind, remember, is at the webcast next week, and John's going to be talking into the camera, you know, with tens of thousands of people there watching. calling them to an action to find you guys, get into a mastermind group with the assessment. So the initial launch of this, John is really doing a lot of the marketing and selling for you, which is nice. One of the things that I've asked our team to do is when we get the pitch that your Paul Martinelli will be doing from stage with John on finding the coaches and getting into a mastermind with an assessment, we're going to take some of the language from that pitch and get a little bullet point guide. And that may be in the form of a PowerPoint, it may be in the form of PDF, but get that out to you guys. So as we really nail down how we like to present the assessment and how Paul feels like it will best sell, we're definitely leaning into his marketing and sales expertise. We're going to try to get that into a transcript form, put it into some key bullet points, and get that out to you guys as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so very much. That's what I wanted to know.
You're welcome.
Y'all have a great morning.
Thank you, Chandler.
Thank you.
Okay, our next caller is area code 256.
Hey, good morning. This is Bob English.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, I took the assessment. I found the process very easy. I had people respond very quickly, most of them the same day. I got my report back. Now I need to figure out how to interpret it so I can and then interpret it for other people. When are we going to get some training on how to do that?
Right this very moment, you have the expert from RightPath on the phone, and I am going to defer this question over to them.
Okay, this is Sherry. Hey, do you have your report with you?
I got it right in front of me.
Okay, and for anyone that's on the call, if you have your report with you or just kind of want to listen along, I'm going to do just a quick overview of the report, kind of what it says, what you can get out of it. Would that be okay for Cheryl and Kathy if I do that? Kind of walk
through
that? Yeah,
I think this is a great point. Let's just walk through it from top to bottom.
Okay. Sounds good. If you will look at page 2, it kind of gives just an introduction on the report. The main piece on there is at the bottom where it shows your raters, and it shows your category of raters, and it also shows how many raters completed it on you. One thing to remember is somebody might say, well, I only had 2 of 3 peers. Can you tell me who that other peer is that didn't complete it on me? And generally, we don't like to do that, even if you know, because we want to keep the anonymity with it. So the main thing is to have people focus on what the report says as a whole, as opposed to saying, well, who didn't do this, or what did one person say about me? But this gives them an idea of how many people filled it out and in what category. The last line down there, where it says a total of, let's say, 40 not observed ratings were recorded, that just gives them a count of how many times someone looked at an item and said, you know, I don't know how this person acts in that area, so I'm going to click not observed because I don't know them that well. So the only thing to look at there is to make sure the number is not really high. So when you think about 64 items times, let's say, 10 people, that's 640 times in general that somebody could have clicked that. So, you know, you think about a percentage of that. I would say if anything under 100 not observed is not a bad thing. But as the number gets higher, that means that they may not have picked the right raters. So they might have picked people that really don't see them in these situations and really couldn't rate them. Does that make sense for the not observed?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I didn't have
that
line
on
mine.
Okay.
So. So that's right under where it tells you how many, you know, like 5 or 6 direct reports, 2 of 2.
Yes.
Direct line.
Yes.
Okay.
And I believe if there's less than 10, I believe, or you know, a small amount, it doesn't give you a line there. So if there's, you know, a minimum amount, 10 or less, it doesn't generally
No,
tell
it'll
you
tell
how
you
many.
All of them, Sherry.
Oh, it does. Okay.
The not observed. So
right.
If you've picked your – sorry, this is Terry. If you've picked raters who know you well, you may not have any not observed, and you really shouldn't because your raters should know you well enough to be able to rate you on everything.
Okay, great. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Great. If you'll – turn to page 3, starting on page 3, for the next 5 pages, the pages have the same format. They just have different items on there. So the format that we have is at the very top, you've got kind of the overall bar graph for each of the different categories. So this particular category is position. So how well does this person handle the area of positions, or maybe specifically more, looking at trust as a kind of a big picture category. You see the items down there where it says position, and it's got all the list there of the different items that the person is rated on. And then you see the breakout of how each of those categories rated them. The self rating is not included in the overall average. So when you look at the overall average is all the other scores averaged together minus the self. So the person's really getting the picture of everybody averaged together, but not including their own self score, because sometimes the self score may be higher or lower than the rest of the average. So we wanted to make sure that they could see how everybody else rated them as we're looking at it. The other thing to note on each of these 5 pages is the order of the items will be different for each person based on their overall average. So if you look at your report and you look at the order of the items, they're in order of top to bottom based on your overall average. So whatever items are on the top for you under position, those are the items under position that you do the best at, that you have the best score in. The items on the more closer to the bottom of that grid are your lower items when it comes to that category. So you can kind of see how the scoring goes. At the very bottom, you see what the scores mean. So we've got a 1 to 7 scale, and you can see kind of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I always tell folks anything 5 and above is a good score. So if you have a 5 or above as an average or as a category average, that means that most of the people agreed that you do that area well, either agreed or strongly agree or very strongly agree. When you get less than 5, you're starting to get into some people are saying that they disagree. Or that they're kind of taking that middle of the road, that neither agree nor disagree. Okay? Feel free to jump in, too, if you have any questions as we walk through this. Really, the next few pages have that similar format. So if you look at page 4, we've got the category of permission. So somewhat related to relational type items on here. So you could see all the items that relate to that all in one area. The same format, the summary is at the top, and then you've got all the individual items down below. So we've got the same format. If you look at page 5, the production category, same format. Your best items are at the top of the grid. Your lower scoring items in that area at the bottom of the grid. So this follows kind of that same format all the way through. Pages 7 and 8 we've taken for pinnacle. We have 2 pages that relate to that because we've broken it down into pinnacle self and pinnacle others. So how well do you manage and control your own emotions would be the self piece, and then how well do you recognize the emotions of others and respond appropriately to that? That would be under the pinnacle others area. So we've devoted about a third of the assessment, a third of the items really looks at those areas, since those are really important areas. Then starting on page 9, you see the comments that are left for you. And these are unedited comments. And the thing to remember as well is that they are not mandatory categories, so someone could choose to leave a comment in one area and not the others, or they could choose to leave comments in all areas, or they could choose to leave no comments. So it's not they're not required fields for the person to leave comments in. And if you'll notice, we don't break down the comments by categories, so it adds to the anonymity of it. So you don't know if this comment's coming from a peer category or a direct report category or an other category. These are just comments from folks. And the main thing on here that I would have folks look at is I always ask them, look for themes. What are multiple people saying about you that's similar So look for themes. If everybody's saying that you're great with being able to talk with others and get others motivated to do things, then that's a really great strength that you need to focus on and utilize. Under struggles, the same thing. What are the themes? Is there something that multiple people are saying about you that you need to zero in on? And then the same thing with that last category when we ask about people development. How is this person doing with people development? And we give them a chance to kind of just list any other general comments that they may want to list. The main thing with the comments is having them pick out themes, having them pick out what are things that we're seeing repeatedly within there. We want to try to steer them away from focusing in on one thing. Inevitably, there might be, you know, one comment that really stands out to somebody in a negative way, and we want to make sure we're having them focus on the, you know, the themes and not just picking one thing out. You know, we're kind of trying to zero in on one thing that might not relate to anything else. Okay. If you turn past the comments, it could be page 10, page 11, page 12, the first page past the comments, where it says at the top, reflection and analysis. And this is something where when the person gets the assessment, this is a kind of a good page that you can ask them to fill out before they meet with you, just to give you an idea of kind of how did they receive this report? What did they think about it? You know, kind of what are some of their thoughts that you can have them kind of, you know, jot down. And you could certainly ask them, of course, more questions than what's on here, but this gives them a start or kind of something to get some dialogue going between you and them. So at the under A, they would just fill in their highest score. So as they're looking at the highest and lowest besides there, so kind of looking at for each of these, you know, what was their top score, what was their lowest score, you know, looking at from those different categories. So in other words, am I really good at production, and maybe my lowest was pinnacle? You know, kind of where are my strengths lie when it comes to these five different areas, and what's my area of struggle? And then you could see on there the various questions for them to fill in. And then the rater list at the bottom lists all the raters that they asked to fill it out on them. So let's say they asked 15 people and 12 of them filled it out. On this list, all 15 will be listed. So they can't come here and say, well, who's missing, who didn't, you know, they can't come here and try to figure out who didn't rate me. So this is always going to be the list of all the raters that they asked to fill it out on them, regardless of whether that person's filled it out or not, whether that person's completed it or not. The last two pages, if you'll turn to the page right after that, it might be page 12, page 13, the last two pages are really the summary of the whole report. So on these last two pages, we've taken all 64 items and put them in order of top to bottom based on your overall average. So where it says average for the score, that's the overall average. So remember, that does not include self, does not include the self score. So you're getting the big picture for all categories of what are my best items and what are my lowest items for the whole report. We've got the top 10 are in gray because that's kind of a focus area. We want them to focus in on what are my best strengths. And then the bottom 10 on the last page are also in gray because those would be the areas of struggle or the areas where the lowest scores come into play. If you printed it in color, you'll see that that's the best way to do it, actually. So I will make that comment. Make sure you ask them to print in color whenever possible, because if you did, you'll see all the categories kind of come to life on there. And there's the items in purple are all the items that relate to developing or the people development section. So the people development section has two categories. It has a category off to the right that's listed there, and it also has the category of people development. So it's kind of a dual category item if you see it in purple. So you can see the items in purple for the people mm-hmm. development area. You can pick those out real easily. Your top 10 are the best. Those are the ones to focus in on. I usually ask the individual, you know, of your top 10, what are your three best areas that you feel like are the most crucial for doing your job well and for doing, you know, doing a great job? And I'll ask them to pick those out. And then I do the same for the bottom 10. I'll have them look at the bottom 10 and say, you know, for you to be more successful with what you're doing, what are the three things from your bottom 10 that you could work on that would really make a difference for you in what you're doing and really make a difference in your work?
Yeah, so if you've got more people development items in the bottom 10 than you do in the top 10, that might be, that might kind of point to something you need to work on.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, so you're looking, once again, you're looking for themes. So, you know, if you've got a lot of pinnacle items in the bottom, which is very common, I will say that in most, for most of the folks that, that we see, there's a lot of the pinnacle items in the bottom and not a whole lot in the top. So that's very common that we see that, because the pinnacle items are somewhat difficult for most of us. And so you can look for, the, under the categories as well, kind of which, are, is there a theme for what categories are in the top and which categories are in the bottom, and then have a dialogue about that.
Yeah.
About 8 out of 10.
I'm just looking, about 7 out of 10 of my bottom 10 are all production.
Okay.
So there, yeah,
that's a theme. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also been here, too, when you're coaching folks, another place that I found that's very helpful in spurring some really robust dialogue is looking at the difference of the average score and the self score and the places where those are most different. Not because people are scoring somebody lower than you score themselves, but if any, if there's ever a significant difference between what others perceive your skill set to be and what you perceive your skill set to be, that's a great place for robust dialogue, whether the others are higher or lower than yourself. Whenever you see that significant difference, it's a great place for a coach to be able to interject and bring to light blind spots that people aren't aware of.
Absolutely.
How do you define a significant difference?
Here's a good idea. This is Terry here. What I do is when you look at your self scores, in general, rather than looking at significant difference, I tend to look for the difference, but also for where the person rated themselves lowest. So on one person, it might be that they rate themselves a 3 for self because they really see they need to do something and work on that. That tells you they've got some self-awareness or maybe even insecurity on that spot. For another person, that score could be a 5 where their raters have rated them lower. So it's really, you got to look at how their self scores compare to how other people rated them. And if they've rated themselves all 6s and 7s, but on one item they're putting a 4 or a 3, it's a good point for conversation.
Okay. Well, I see where the, at least I'm taking away the main point is to concentrate on themes or trends rather than getting wrapped up. Because I know one of my, I was looking at the overall average, and I looked at how the, you know, direct reports and manager rated, and on a couple of items it was significantly lower on the peer rating. And so I was getting all wrapped around the axle, well, what the hell's wrong with my peers? You know, how come they look at me different than direct reports and manager? But I guess I shouldn't. And that was just on a couple of items. But that kind of, you know, I found myself going down that rat hole rather than looking, going back to overall themes or, you know, bigger picture stuff. So I guess that's something you have to make sure your client doesn't focus on, you know, say look at one item in the scores and start going down a rat hole.
And that's a great example because you've taken it yourself, you're seeing those tendencies that you have. And guess what? Your tendencies are going to be others' tendencies too, probably. So by you seeing this, you're going to be able to help them not go down that rabbit hole, just like what you're saying. Yep, I think that's a great point.
With your client too, you may be able to ask them one simple question and say, hey, do you know why your peers might have rated you lower on this particular item?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what you'll find out is there might be something really recent or kind of in immediate memory that might come to mind where they say, oh, yeah, well, we disagreed about something in a meeting last week, and that might be why they rated me lower in that. And so then if you ask them, is that the typical tendency or whatever, you can usually either diffuse it and say, hey, stick to your themes, or you might say, hey, there is a little bit of a difference between how that one contingency sees you, and that happens sometimes. Some people manage very well up and very well down, but don't manage their relationships so well across horizontally. Other people have a different take on that. They might be great with their peers, but struggle in their relationship with their manager. So that difference between those rater categories may just be a development item as far as making sure that they're working well with all the different contingencies that they deal with day in and day out.
Okay, good.
Thanks so much for your question. Cheryl, do we have anybody else on the line?
Good morning. This is Barry Smith in Portland, Oregon.
Good morning. How are you doing this?
I'm doing great. Thank you all for being willing to jump on and help answer our questions. I just have a couple, and I apologize if it's something we'll find out doing the assessment. I have not done that yet. I plan to do it this weekend, but a couple of things that have come to mind. When we do the initial setup and plug in our raters, are we able to go back later and add more?
You are. And there are instructions that come with the initial instructional email that you get when you purchase the assessment. That instructional email comes immediately from assessment@johnmaxwell.com. There have been a couple of comments. I will admit that the email is quite lengthy. The purpose of that is to be able to give you full instructions to go through all three steps of the process. So when you experience it, you'll see what I'm talking about. I won't spend too much time there. In addition, if you want to go back and listen to the phone calls that Jerry, Paul, and I did 2 weeks ago, almost exactly 2 weeks ago, we talked at length about that process.
All right, thank you. And then the other question is, how long do we have access to the information?
Carrie, you'll know this exactly. We ask the raters to complete the process within a week. However, they've got at least 3 to 6 weeks to actually do it in the event that somebody's on vacation and you just want to wait. There's really no reason why you shouldn't be able to be done within a week. And then, obviously, once you pull the report, you can pull it and download it as a PDF and save it forevermore. But being able to go back into the system, Terry, tell me, did we set the limit at 6 weeks or 6 months? Is it 6 months?
Here's how it's set. It is set for, we set the due date at 3 weeks. It's just so that the raters have that as a finish date. It's not a hard finish date. Somebody can rate you after 3 weeks. You can even add another rater after 3 weeks. And where this might matter for your clients is that if somebody hasn't rated a leader, they pull their report, let's say, at 3 weeks, and they realize they only had 2 of 5 peers done. So they nudge their other peers or whoever hasn't finished, even though they don't know exactly who they are, and they want to rate them. They can go in and rate them afterwards, and the report, when they go back to get it after those people have rated them, it will be updated with the new information. That will be the case for up to six months. So it is open with that ability much longer. Of course, we don't want you to draw it out that long because an experience with your raters that happens within roughly a 1 month time frame, everybody is talking about the same time frame, the same experience, and how they're working with you. 6 months from now, you could have had a big project going on or something else happening at work, and you may not be getting apples to apples comparisons. But for 6 months, you can actually tweak and adjust. And where that seems to only happen, where it might need to stretch out longer, is if you have somebody who travels a lot. Sometimes if you have a CEO or somebody who's, you know, just out of pocket a fair bit, and you really want to make sure you get all the information in. The report will be on the server indefinitely, but we do suggest you save a copy so you've got one on your server. But the ability to deal with your raters and to have the report updated as raters come in, it will be done after 6 months.
And Terry, I'll mention that the one time that I've seen it go longer than the 1 week is when you're working with a group. Let's say you're going into an organization, you've been doing executive coaching with a CEO for 6 months. He sees the value and says, I really want to put my whole leadership team under your services. I really want you to be coaching each one of these individually. And let's start with an assessment.
and you ask a team of people, say 8 people, to all take the assessment on themselves and assess each other. In those situations, I do think that it can take longer for the respondents, for all the raters, to just come back and get it done. I've been personally in that situation before where Mark Cole, the CEO of the John Maxwell Company, had our entire leadership team go through RightPath assessments, and it took us longer because not only did I need to assess myself, but I had to assess each of my teammates, and I have 8 teammates, and so I ended up needing to do 9 assessments, and I couldn't get it all done within 1 week. And so it took me a couple of weeks to get it completed just because it was all one team taking the assessment all at one time. Otherwise, when you're dealing with just individual people, I will consistently say there is no reason why you shouldn't be able to get reports back within a week. There's
correct.
Unless somebody is on vacation, you know, a manager is on vacation and simply cannot get to something within a week, there's really no reason why you can't get a report done within a week when it's an individual person taking it.
All right, great answers. And that brings up one more question for me.
Sure.
In that we have a 6-month time frame. So say I was working with a client, there was 10 department heads, and they took the assessment, and then I proceeded to work with them for another 3 or 4 or 5 months. Are they able to go back in then and take it again, use the same raters, and see where they've made progress, or would they need to repurchase the assessment?
No, they would need to repurchase the assessment. And that's actually why we put the, a months out hard stop on being able to rescore or add additional raters or delete raters and those sorts of things. And the reason we don't want them to reuse the old assessment is because when they buy a subsequent 360, whether it's 6 months from now or a year from now, you will have the ability to run a report it's not available
compare.
Right now, but it will be very, very soon to compare their results from the previous year to this year or the previous time to this time.
All right, excellent. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate it. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you for your questions.
Thanks, Barry.
Yep.
Kathy, we do have another question from Melissa Rollins.
Sure. Hi, Melissa. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, hey, this is Chris. How are you guys doing?
Oh, Chris. Yes, hi.
Yeah, I think my
I thought she said Melissa.
She did. That's my wife. She's not on the call this morning. I have a few questions about the assessment, and that I'm trying to go through it right now. Kathy, I don't know if you had heard yesterday, maybe from Tammy, but I ordered it yesterday morning.
Okay.
But I don't have it.
Yep.
So
the very first thing I'll tell you is if you have purchased it and it hasn't come through, you did the right thing. I'm assuming you emailed assessment@johnmaxwell.com. In fact, everybody who's on the call, I want you to write this down. assessment@johnmaxwell.com is the email address where you need to escalate any technology issues.
Yeah.
Please don't email admin. Please don't call admin. Please don't bug Cheryl. Cheryl's not been trained to deal with all of this. My team over at John Maxwell Company and my support team, we're the ones that you need to escalate to. Now, we won't always be able to answer your questions, but we escalate to the experts over at RightPath when we can't figure it out. So assessment@johnmaxwell.com, it's really important that everybody knows that. That's the escalation point for technology issues or just questions. After today, you still have more questions about how to use the assessment. You can't get a hold of it. You got some weird error on the site. That's where you're going to go to. And, Chris, I think that's what you did, and that's why you got a hold of Tammy. That's okay. That's why we're having the training today. So if you didn't get the email, the initial instructional email, the first thing that I would ask you to do, and maybe Tammy's already done this, but if you'll allow me, I want other people on the call to hear this full and complete answer, is to go to your spam filter and make sure that the spam filter is set up to allow all emails coming from the domain, @johnmaxwell.com. So I know that, you know, many of you email us over at the John Maxwell Company, and we have regular correspondence, and you think, well, hey, if I'm already getting emails from Kathy or Tammy or Jason or whomever over at John Maxwell Company, why would my spam filter block this particular email? To be honest, guys, I don't want to get into the specifics because I don't really understand it. But what I know is that if your spam filter is not set up to accept emails from the entire domain at johnmaxwell.com,
you're going to have trouble getting that instructional email. So, Chris, have you already done that this morning? Has Tammy already asked you to set up your spam filter to see if that'll work?
Well, I did confirm nothing was in my spam folder. And,
yep.
You know, I had specifically, I was kind of dealing with Mac, but I did have the assessment at johnmaxwell.com added on my address list, which is what the Mac said, you know, would allow it to come through. So.
Yep. So now go ahead.
Chris, can you tell me your last name, and I can just take a peek while you guys are talking.
I was going to say, you can push it through while you guys talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rollins, R-O-L-L-I-N-S.
Okay, I'll have a look while you guys continue.
Okay, thanks.
So what will happen then, as everybody is listening in, you know, once you've set up your spam filter to accept emails from there, you can shoot us over an email that says, hey, I didn't get anything. I set up my spam filter now. It wasn't set up before. Maybe it was, and I'm not really sure, but I've gone back. I've looked at my spam filter. You guys are good to go. You're on the green list or the white list, whatever your spam filter is set up to say, you know, all emails coming from @johnmaxwell.com will be accepted. And we'll just hit a button, which is what Terry's doing right now, which is to push that initial instructional email back out to you a second time. And key difference between I checked my spam filter and it wasn't there, and so therefore it must not be a spam issue, and making sure that we're on your white list or green list, those are two different things. Just because it's not in the spam filter doesn't mean it didn't hit spam and automatically get killed. This is a template email, meaning, you know, you guys are all getting the exact same instructions every single time from an automated system. And templated emails sometimes will trigger spam filters differently. Some spam filters just say templated emails get killed right at the beginning. So it is really important that you set us up on the white list or the green list in order for that to go through.
Okay.
Carrie, what did you find out on Chris?
I don't see him here, so you guys might have to check on your shopping cart end and make sure that
yep.
it sent the
and
notice to us.
Chris, were you the coach that was having the issue with either a PHP issue, PHP error,
yes.
or a – was that you?
Yes, ma'am.
Ah, so
that
I am
looking
at
that. That looks like a
shopping
cart issue, yeah.
That sounds like a shopping cart issue, and so I was actually looking at your issue last night with Tammy, and I didn't finish resolving it. So if you don't mind, I'm going to offline that because I think that
okay.
is specific to you. But I will tell you this, Chris. I had one other person come in today and tell me that they had a PHP error. So I do have two examples now, which is good because right now we were only able to isolate it to you. We weren't able to recreate the issue last night. So if there's anybody else listening to this recording or listening to the call this morning, and as you're trying to check out and purchase the assessment, you're getting a PHP error or a time zone or a timing out error of any kind, that's currently being now escalated to our web development, our shopping cart team, which is different from RightPath. And now that I have two examples, that we are better able to create a pattern so that we can show that it's not specifically an issue for Chris, but that it's got, you know, a wider range to it. So, Chris, thank you for being the first. Congratulations on finding that error that no one has ever found.
Let me go way to the bottom of them and still, you know, get the month and the year of the expiration on the card. So, you know, and then it bypassed and said, you know, you purchased the assessment, and I went to the, I went to my credit card and saw the charge hit my credit card. So I said, well, I
yep.
guess it all went through.
Good. Yeah, it looked like it all went through, but for whatever reason,
yeah.
That particular error did not allow the information
right.
to get submitted to RightPath because Terry's telling us she doesn't even see her name in the system. All this is very resolvable, not concerned at all.
Okay.
But congratulations, man, on finding a bug that nobody has ever found before. So thank you for making our system better
right.
before we launch next week to everybody else.
Well, Kathy, I have two other questions with that goes with
Please.
It, okay?
Yes.
You know, I guess first is in relation, because this is a concern with me, you know, with selling the product, especially to organizations.
Sure.
You know, when we purchase it and or if we're purchasing it for a client or if a client's purchasing it directly off of the site, is there something that goes to them that gives them a copy of a receipt, or can they go print a receipt off? Because,
that is a
I mean,
great
I don't see
question.
Receipts, but I don't know if it's just hasn't gone through yet.
So it depends on how you're processing. If an organization is doing this with you, bundled with the mastermind, and you are charging their card the $3.99, $4.99, whatever you're going to charge for the mastermind,
yeah.
you would then be taking their funds and producing
correct.
A receipt in the manner that you normally do with all of your other masterminds. If they come directly to us, we have the obligation, because we took the funds to create the credit card receipt, and in the confirmation email, I believe that's in there, and if it's not, I can get that updated to say, you know, here's your, you know, here's the amount charged for this. But
okay.
there's, I think the key difference here is whether or not you are charging for the funds or we at John Maxwell Company have the, you know, financial obligation to produce
yeah.
the receipt.
Well, and that was my concern, because I know some people, you know, I've had people say, well, you know, they'll just go pull it from their credit card, and then dealing with years of being in the corporate role, you know, and understanding how our expense reports work, yeah, I know that many of them, you know, especially if you're dealing with sales managers or leadership, you know, they're working off corporate credit cards, and if they don't have receipts to go with that card, it doesn't just tie to their credit card statement. They get withheld from their paycheck. And,
right.
you know, if I'm trying to talk to a guy that says, I'm going to do this on 8 managers, well, not without a receipt, I'm not. But
sure. Well,
I'm
and again,
them,
I think it's got to go back to whether you're charging the card and you need to produce a receipt or if it's coming to
yeah.
us. And if the paperwork that we're not automatically right now providing to them doesn't suffice, again, shoot an email over to assessment@johnmaxwell.com. Say, hey, we just put 8 people through. The information that you've provided for us won't substantiate. We need a receipt. Our team can
okay.
put a receipt out 3 minutes flat.
Good.
That's not a problem
okay.
at all. I'm not concerned
good.
About that.
And that was the other thing I was concerned about, to your point. Yeah, when I purchased for someone, I didn't want the receipt going to them either. I wanted this to go to me then, but okay.
Correct. If it's your billing address, yes, you would just need to email
yeah.
and say, hey, I need a receipt for me.
Okay.
And we wouldn't, I want to be really clear that the coaches should not be creating receipts on behalf of the John Maxwell Company. That makes me uncomfortable. I think it should make you guys uncomfortable. You know, if the company or client is paying you, you need to create a receipt. If the client is paying us, we need to create a receipt. And if you're doing it two ways, where the client is paying you and then you're paying us, we need to produce a receipt for you and you need to produce a receipt for them. But we shouldn't be, none of us should be, John Maxwell Company, nor John Maxwell Team, nor the coaches should be producing receipts on behalf of someone else's organization.
Got it. Okay, and then the last question I had going through these, I know I've done a lot of looking at this in the last couple of weeks, but is the link itself to the assessment so that it runs through us and we get credit for it? I know when we access it through our replicated website, then we click the leadership assessment tools and it goes to assessment.johnmaxwell or whatever, you know, it is up top. That ties it to us. If we need to just take that link, like, to that assessment, you know, if we were to copy the URL and send it to someone else, would that still be attached to us, or do they need to start off of our replicated site and then click the leadership assessment?
Chris, the link should work independent of the site. I'd recommend that we test that, because that's not been the primary application usage of that. But it's my understanding, based on everything I've read about the functionality of the affiliate program we use, it's a third-party software program that we have attached to our shopping cart, that link can be used independently, and there's no reason why it shouldn't be attached to the site. But before I tell you, everyone listening to both the live and the recording, yes, go do that. That's a great idea. I would recommend let's hold on that answer. Let me get back with my team. Let me do testing and send something off to Paul that he can post for you as an answer
okay.
later.
Okay. Because I know
that's,
when we click
that
on the link, yeah, there's nothing that identifies it in the URL.
Because it's all on the backside. It's all you know, we're trying to make the entire process look seamless. We do not want your clients to feel like they're being bounced around from multiple sites
yeah.
to multiple sites. So we're not showing them a lot of what's being done on the backside. And so, again, before I tell you to go do that, I want to make sure that it actually works, and that's a good idea. So I'm going to table that answer for a bit, get with my team, get with Paul, and we'll post something in the future.
Thanks so much. Appreciate y'all.
Thanks, Kathy. When you do get that answer, let me know, and I'll make sure I get that posted on the Facebook for everybody.
Thank you. Yep.
There are no other members in the queue. So if you had any closing remarks, if not, we'll see you back tonight again at 8 o'clock.
Yeah. Nobody wants to press star 6 and chat with us? You'd be first in the queue. You'd get your question answered right away.
Let's give it just a second. Well, there was a lot of detailed information this morning, and I know a lot of the coaches are just now starting to take the assessment.
Absolutely.
Let's see. Oh, I do have someone on Skype that's just jumped into the queue. Hi, your line's unmuted. Looks like Smith.
Hello, Kathy. This is Matthew calling from the UK.
Hi, Matthew. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thanks. It's just on the back of what Chris Rawlings was talking about. Like sometimes people would actually follow the link and then probably come to it later, you know. And looking at our replicated site, if they click the link, it would say assessment.johnmaxwell.com, johnmaxwellteam.com or johnmaxwell.com, and what people, I believe, would do would bookmark it and come back to it another time rather than going through your site, going through the replicated site. What's the means around that?
Yep. So the link is perpetuating for a period of time, and it does eventually expire. I will go in and double-check how long we have those links perpetuating. And what that means is if they click once and then they come back, you know, a day, a week later, it still continues to track that purchase back to you. That, by the way, is the same thing with your cart when you're selling resources, lunch and learns, digital downloads, books, DVD kits through your replicated site, all that physical and digital material you can earn commission on. It's the same thing. That tracking perpetuates for a period of time after the initial click. What I need you to find out, though, is how lengthy that can be. That's something that we decided with Paul 2.5 years ago, if you can believe it, it's been that long. So I can't remember the exact time on that. It's more than a day, less than a year, and I will get the exact answer. And again, Cheryl can post that later on the Facebook page for that exact amount of time.
Okay, that's good. Does that include if people are using private browsing and deleting their cookies after they close their browser and things like that?
You know, I am not familiar with private browsing, so I'm going to have to look into that and understand more about that before I can answer that question. It is correct, though, if people are regularly removing their cookies, then it would remove the linking, the tracking. So if people are, every time they are getting out of browsers, regularly going to their internet options and removing their browser history, which is not something I regularly do, but I've been hearing a lot about it on the news, then it would remove the tracking.
Okay, and then we would therefore lose the affiliation program.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
All right, let me check the queue. Give me 1 second. I'm going to run through this and make sure we haven't forgotten anybody.
Cheryl, while you're checking, I'm going to give a couple of frequently asked question answers that have come in via the email, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
We've had several strange error messages or just messages that people have seen as they're clicking the links in the instructional email. The fix for over 50% of those has been to get out of all of their browser windows, and in some cases needing to clear their cache, and then go back through and click the links in the instructional email. If you have clients or you yourself are experiencing strange errors, things that say EQID, all sorts of funny acronyms, and you're wondering, why is this happening, and I surely need to send an email to assessment, I will tell you the first thing my team is going to tell you to do is to clear your internet cache. Get out of all of your internet browsers. Go back to your email. Click the link fresh. If you are still continuing to have issues, we're going to ask you to either copy word for word what's in the error or send us a screenshot to the email assessment@johnmaxwell.com. But those are the four steps. It'll be clear your internet history, close all your browsers, try the links again, and if you continue to have issues, send us a screenshot or copy word for word what you're seeing on the screen. Try to be as descriptive as possible. It's important for us to know what browser you're using, what version number you're on, and if you're like Chris who called in this morning, we'll congratulate you if you found a bug that no one else has found, and otherwise we should be able to resolve whatever issue you're having. So I just wanted to let people know that, because while there have been several variations of different types of errors, over 50% of them, I might be so bold as to even say 75% of them, have been fixed simply by getting out of all of the browsers and starting fresh. And so I wanted to make sure people knew that today. Again, if you haven't had the chance to write this down, please write down assessment@johnmaxwell.com. That's your point of escalation. Do not email admin. Do not call Cheryl. You don't need to post anything to the mentorship or to the coaching Facebook pages. The team over at John Maxwell team is not equipped nor trained to help you guys with your technology issues associated with the assessment. Please don't burden them with that or duplicate effort in transferring of information between the two teams. Just send everything you need to over to assessment@johnmaxwell.com. We'll be happy to take care of your issues. I do want to let you guys know we've had a change in our team over on my support staff, and so you're going to be hearing from some new teammates over on my side. Don't be freaked out. That's great. We've got a big team over here that does support, and any one of us should be able to answer your questions. That's why it's so important to get them over to assessment and not send them elsewhere. That's it for me.
Great. Well, I do have a couple more that have come into the queue, and
okay.
Thank you for that, Kathy. I know your team
Great.
Has been right on it when they have gotten a request. So.
Well, I appreciate it. We're down a man right now, and we're all pitching in through sickness and vacation. Like I said, you guys found me out in D.C., and with the shutdown, we're now down in Raleigh making some changes to the plans, because you can't sit in D.C. waiting for the pandas to come out, because they're not coming out, because the government shut down.
Okay, our next caller is area code 520.
Good morning, beautiful people. This is Dorothy in Arizona.
Hi, Dorothy. How are you?
Hi. I have to take the assessment this weekend, so I don't have any intelligent questions, and I think I know the answer to this one, but I wanted to ask it before. It's more of a selling point to clients.
Sure.
I was out talking to the military at the military base this week, and I want to sell the assessment to them. You know, they were saying anything they do has to be basically data-based and scientifically sort of proven, you know, why they need something. And so they were saying that they have an overall 360 assessment that the military does for their leaders. And so I think the difference, and I just wanted you guys to confirm this. I think the difference in what we're offering is that coaching follow-up piece where we really do the analysis and we sit down side by side with them and we really talk about these trends and themes that show up, and then we can offer, you know, training and workshops or whatever it is that we decide together that they need to meet whatever those areas of need that show up in the assessment are. Is that the difference, or is our 360 assessment different even beyond that I can tell them?
Terry or Sherry, do you want to jump in on some of that, or would it be better to reference back to some of the things that Jerry talked about 2 weeks ago? I know you all were listening in on that.
Yeah, this is Terry. I think it is a good idea to reference back to Jerry, because he explains validation and what we have as far as that sort of foundation under the tool when you're selling into the military. You have a valid point that they may be happy with the 360 that they already
have, so they're not even going to consider yours unless they know that it's got the validation aspects covered. So Jerry covered that in the prior call, and we do have some documentation that we've passed along that you can get through your contact there at John Maxwell. But the coaching is a different piece, and when you're selling, the other big point is making sure that what the people get doesn't just end up as a development plan that's stuck in their drawer. And so your coaching piece, your follow-up, your ability to show them results and to track with them and show them progress from year to year is going to be your main selling point. And the tool is adequately adequately validated that should meet their requirements. We also meet Homeland Security requirements for how they take the assessment, so that helps when selling to the military to point that out.
Okay.
And the last part is a lot of 360 assessments are so situational and so subjective, and this tool is built on purpose to try to really measure key leadership attributes without getting watered down by situational things that aren't necessarily leadership related. So the fact that it's got, you know, very carefully validated and cross-referenced items in it will be good for selling as well.
Good. Okay, yeah, I did hear that part, and I did go over some of that with them on the global testing and the validation and the reliability. You know, I just wondered, was there anything else? But that's the situational also, you know, sounds like a point, and that this is really designed to be leadership related with the 64, you know, leadership traits that it's testing. And but I will go back to listen to that again, because, you know, anytime you listen to something the second time, you hear things you didn't hear the first time. So
correct.
And but I thought
heard
I thought
Jerry
that it was
about
really our ability to go in, and it's not just something that's going to go in a drawer, but we're going to, you know, we're going to do development around that and really add the coaching to it, and that's what makes us unique as compared to perhaps what they're already doing.
Right. It's a danger for them to have an assessment without coaching. So that is always a key point. You know, people who try to take a shortcut might want to try just to take the assessment, but to have the follow-up and the debrief is the important part of making the assessment, you know, into deliverable improvement.
Okay, great. Fantastic. That's good. I'm moving forward.
I want to point out as well that we have used this assessment with other branches of the military. So when you say the military has a 360 that they use, that may be a broader statement that than we, both John Maxwell Company and RightPath, have experienced. I know that we are using RightPath assessments within other branches of the military. And when I say right now, I mean literally within the last few weeks. So while there may be a go-to solution that they have, and it may be an approved vendor through all sorts of government approval processes, it's not to say that it is a deal breaker for you, and you should not feel discouraged in that we are very regularly and currently doing business with different branches of the military using RightPath assessments. So it's still an open door in my book.
Great.
Absolutely.
And for those of you that are on the line or listening to the recording, if you go under the archive calls, we have the two calls from September 20th with Paul and Kathy and RightPath. And also Paul did a call on September 28th with Melissa Albers on bringing the assessment tool into your business. So if you haven't listened to those calls, they're all in the archive call section.
Thank you, Cheryl, for that information. I highly encourage those of you who plan on taking this assessment and making it an integral part of your business to listen to as many of the calls that Paul has offered up, whether I've been on them or Jerry's been on them or Paul's been on them. They've all had invaluable information as it relates to how the assessment works, how to incorporate it into your coaching business, what John will be doing to launch it for you next Thursday, why he's launching this assessment and this book with you. Cheryl, I don't know if you know that initial call that we did, I think on a Monday or Tuesday night, sometime around Labor Day. I feel like we talked a lot about
Tuesday. On Tuesday, September 3rd, is also in the archive calls.
Thank you
John
very much.
That
call.
About.
John and Paul talked about that, and Jerry and I and David and I worked on, you know, the key talking points there. You didn't hear from us, but there was a great deal of conversation that went into what information the coaches needed to hear about. So it was very much a team effort, as John and Paul always work that way. So there have been a number of different calls even leading up to today that I think that coaches can go back and reference.
Oh, I agree. I know we're at the top of the hour, Kathy. I have two more in the queue. Do you have time for two more questions?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do the two.
Area code 239, your line's unmuted.
Hi, this is Tim Ficker in Virginia Beach, and I'm pretty new to the team and trying to keep up with things. I missed the call Saturday morning, and I think I need to hear a basic summary on the assessment tool, because I have a few clients that always ask me about 360s and so forth. So how can I best get started learning about the assessment tool?
I'll jump in really quick. Jump in really quick and say there have been two or three calls, and Cheryl, maybe you can list the dates in chronological order. But in my mind, the first one to listen to is the one that was done with John and Paul on September 3rd, which was a Tuesday evening. And then Paul, Jerry, and I did calls from 2 weeks ago. So, Cheryl, can you give those dates again?
Yeah, on September 3rd, there's a call posted in the archive call section. Then on September 20th, there were two calls. And then on September 28th, there was a call with Paul Martinelli, and he had a guest, Melissa Albers, who uses the assessment tool extensively in her business. And I would recommend you start with the call from the 28th and work back. Because you're looking for a general analysis of the assessment tool. I think that's really well covered on the 28th call.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay, our last question of the morning is from a Skype caller, Peter.
Hello, this is Peter Lam from Australia, Brisbane, Australia.
Hello, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Hi. My question is, if I remove a rater before he did the assessment, what will happen when he try and do the assessment?
He will get an error that says not authenticated user. So once, if you delete him before he takes it, but he already received the email with the link in it, when he tries to log in using his email and the password, he'll get a not authenticated user error.
Okay. So is there a way that we could actually end the assessment before the 3 weeks initial period?
Absolutely. You can end the assessment whenever you have sufficient response. When you go to pull the report, it will only give you a warning if you have a single person in a category of, say, peer or direct report or other, because you don't want one rater isolated in those categories. But so long as you have sufficient raters and you're ready to pull the report, you're able to do that whenever you like.
So does that mean when I pull the report, that ends the assessment?
Correct. It will end the assessment. Now, if you look at the report and you realize that only half of the direct reports rated them and you want the people to continue doing that, you can manually send out reminders again and then get more input and pull it again. So you still have access to it afterwards, but the automatic reminders end once you've pulled the report.
Okay. That's all. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, well, that is the end of the queue. Thank you, ladies. I'll make sure this recording gets posted right away. And, Kathy, when you have those answers to the questions that were asked, let me know, and I'll get them posted on Facebook while Paul is on his way to Belgium.
Yes, of course. I hope he's enjoying the flight there. We will see you this evening for a call.
At 8 o'clock.
At 8 o'clock.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everyone who joined the call.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.